maps. Pinball and maps. Mapping around with Scott and Ryan.
Welcome back to Mapping Around with Scott and Ryan, the nation's number one pinball map related podcast.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Ryan. What have you been up to, Ryan? We're coming to the end of summer now.
Yeah, I know. It's been 2 months or so since our last episode. I think my big one is that I went to England and Scotland.
Did you play any pinball in England or Scotland?
No. It's hard to get all that in sometimes on a trip. I did look at the map every time I went to a place. When we were in London, we were staying in the Marylebone neighborhood in Zone 2. And there weren't that many places around us. And the places that were somewhat near just seemed like, I don't know, like a kid's arcade with two machines or something like that. And they were, you know, they're newish places. Like, I think maybe NQ64 or something like that, which I think is a shop.
And I haven't been to the UK in a while, but you're talking about like Zone 2. Yeah. NQ64. What's going on over there? It's like Tron.
Yeah. When, you know, I had to spend a lot of time making sure I was comfortable with the transit situation in London before I got there. So I was just familiarizing myself with the city by looking at maps a lot. I think it factors into taking transit, because if you're taking a bus, if you're taking tube, the underground, like, you scan when you start your ride, and then you scan again when you exit your ride, and it calculates what your fee will be, maybe based on the zone you're in when you start it. I could be totally wrong with that, but it's something to that effect.
That sounds vaguely familiar now. I totally get not going on a family vacation and playing pinball. Like, I don't think I would make the time for that either. But it is kind of, I wonder what it would be like, you know, playing a machine over there.
What about you? How about you had a voyage to your homeland?
Oh, yeah. I did a few trips. I went back to Michigan. That's where I'm from. Did not play pinball. Looked at the map, though, and there were a lot of interesting looking places. I went back. I also went to, I took the van to Orcas Island. You know that place?
Yeah, up by Vancouver, right? Or San Juan Islands or something?
Yeah, it's like one of the San Juan Islands. Have you ever been there?
No.
Oh, okay. No pinball at all on Orcas Island. Sorry to report that, but it was great. It's a nice trip. I'd go there again.
Yeah, I've heard it's really pretty there.
I'm also going to Palm Springs in the winter.
Really?
Yeah, that doesn't count as a summer news thing, but I've never been to Palm Springs before. Have you?
Yeah, totally.
I've been there a bunch. Yeah, is it pretty good? What do you do in Palm Springs?
It depends on where I stay. You know, there's a natural spring that's really cool. That's where the native, maybe Taquites, perhaps Native Americans lived around there. And it's really cool because it has these palm trees and like water coming up out of the ground. I mean, it's sort of like a bog in some places, but it feels like you're in a prehistoric time when you walk through it. But you're also right near Joshua Tree National Park when you're there, which is really worth going to.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What else? I'm doing Hood to Coast this weekend. You know, Hood to Coast.
Yeah. That's like a relay, right?
It's like a relay race where you run from Mount Hood to the coast. Probably won't play any pinball during that. Although we end at Seaside, which tends to have a few machines. Maybe I'll just go play pinball at the end of it.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Scene report at the end of that, telling like what your experience is like, maybe.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And then ending the summer with circumnavigating Mount St. Helens and doing like a 4-day backpacking trip in Sisters. So wow. lots of outdoor stuff. I haven't really played much pinball at all. Have you?
No, not really. I played in a tournament like a month ago, and I think since my last league ended at the beginning of summer, I've maybe played once or twice. And I mean, that's sad to say on a podcast like this, but
yeah, we do the map. Yeah. We do the map for it.
I know. I feel like I'm doing pinball stuff every day.
If you were to play a pinball machine, like any pinball machine, what would you like to be playing?
I don't know. I mean, I will say, looking ahead in this podcast, I just listened to your scene report, and when you mentioned James Bond, made me kind of want to play that.
Mm-hmm.
In part because I sometimes like blow it up and get big scores, and it makes me feel good. What about you?
Me? Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, that would be a fun one.
Still really hung up on Wheel of Fortune. Not easy to find, too. Although there's one on Craigslist here in Portland that's been for sale for like months. But I can't do it. I can't buy another pinball machine. Doesn't make sense.
I guess not.
You know, one more thing on this topic. You know, I listened to that Wedgehead podcast. It's real good. It's probably the best non-pinball map podcast out there. Mm-hmm. And they got a really good point, that the cheapest way to play pinball is to just play location pinball, right? Like,
yeah,
there's no way you're going to get your money back on a home machine. That same money, you could go out and play like a million different types of games anywhere.
Yeah. I fully agree with that.
Really shook me out of that like mentality of like, oh, I'd probably play a lot more pinball if I had one at home. Anyway, who cares?
Yeah, but I mean, you're saying, you know, that's a game that you want to play and it's hard to find. So maybe at some point it's like, what other choice do you have?
That's true. All right. What's the map? What even is the map? What are we doing here?
Let's start with, what do you call that? The follow-up?
Action item follow-ups?
Yeah, action item follow-ups. So, you know, We definitely don't want to leave people hanging. This is like a multi-episode saga thinking about what Colin from Kineticist was doing when he entered thousands of machines into the Kineticist machine database.
Yeah, the question was whether he was listening to pinball podcasts while he was doing it or whether he was watching something on TV, and you came back with he's watching something on TV. Mm-hmm. I was a little surprised that we didn't actually say what he was watching, which to me is the most important part. Right. What was he watching?
Yeah. So we were left unsatisfied. We got an answer, but we weren't all the way there. So he was watching, he claims at least, wrestling.
Well, it's an interesting preface. Like, he might be lying about it. Is that what you're implying? He claims it's wrestling?
Yeah, I am. I think I'm going to go there and say, you never know.
Wrestling is, so I watched wrestling when I was a young man, like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior wrestling. Mm-hmm. Liked it quite a bit. And then dropped out, you know, what, like middle school, the end of middle school or something. Mm-hmm. It seems like wrestling is kind of made a resurgence for people of a certain age. I think there's like new exciting wrestling leagues or something like that. Maybe that's what Colin's keying into here.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's on fantasy wrestling and all kinds of other. Yeah, I haven't kept up with that at all, and I didn't really watch it that much when I was in junior high.
You didn't watch wrestling? Nothing?
I had a friend that was my best friend at the time, was really, really into it, but I don't know. It was kind of like, weren't those on at like Saturday morning or something, or just like a time when I wasn't at his house? I don't know.
Oh. So you probably won't care about this. I recently rewatched Thunder in Paradise. Do you know what Thunder in Paradise is?
I don't think so. Uh-uh.
It's a movie starring Terry Hogan, Hulk Hogan. I think it was his first movie, and it's like a PG action movie kind of geared towards kids. Cool. Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah. Really bad?
Yeah, it's really bad. It's kind of like sad to see Hulk Hogan nowadays at like the national convention, like ripping his shirt off. And, but it was nice to see him, you know.
Still doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, good job, Colin. Watch that wrestling.
All right, next follow-up, and we'll just touch upon this for a second. I don't know if there's any validity to it, but it made me think, is that last time we were talking about, I think we talked about for a moment the Stern Insider Connected map, and I made an offhanded comment that sometimes it's not up to date because, and we were saying, you know, maybe don't use that as a reliable source if you were submitting things to Pinball Map, because the Stern Insider Connected map there was little incentive for the operators, who were generally the only ones who could edit the pages, to remove the machines. And I think it was just like a week later after the episode, Stern came out and said they have enabled auto updates on their maps based on pinging machines. And I think we said do exactly that. And so I'm not saying they listened to this and that made a difference, but it stood out to me. It seemed like a nice coincidence.
Stern employee, if you are listening to this, please reach out. Give us a scene report of the Stern break room. What do you guys got in there? What are you playing? When's the last time you went bowling?
I went bowling over the summer. It was a kid's birthday party, and it was actually really cool because this is not something I've ever thought of while bowling, but it was at a place that was from 1935 or something like that, and they recently remodeled it, and there's no screens, meaning that you have to keep your score by hand. And this was a kid's birthday party, so no one's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care to do that. So it was just unlimited bowling in like a very freeing sense. You just never stopped. You didn't bowl 10 rounds and then start over or anything. You just kept bowling forever. And I found that to be kind of nice.
Pinball?
No pinball. They had like two multi-arcade game type things there. That's it. And all the food was vegan, which was surprising.
What? What is this place called?
I think it's called Montrose Bowl.
Montrose Bowl. When's the last time you had nachos?
That's a month or two ago. That's my go-to at this place near us called Senor Fish. And sometimes you get fixated and you're like, you love something at a restaurant so much, and you know they have other good stuff on a menu, but then you just don't want to, you're like, oh, I'm only coming here once a month. I don't want to miss the opportunity to get the one thing I like. And
yeah.
So I think I've gotten the chicken nachos from there like the last 12 times in a row, probably.
Not the fish nachos?
No. I mean, they have great fish stuff, but I don't know. I don't know if fish nachos would be so good.
Man, I went to Spirit of 77, you know, that Trailblazers bar in Portland, to watch the gold medal game for basketball.
Oh, cool.
And I got nachos there. And ever since then, I just can't stop thinking about nachos.
Yeah. I mean, chips are probably my favorite thing to eat. And so chips with a bunch of stuff on them really is, it's perfect.
Maybe the worst pinball food you could have. When you think about it, nachos, unless you were wiping those fingers constantly.
You know, the one thing that's interesting about the Senor Fish nachos is there's not that much cheese on them. It's, you know, there's jalapeno peppers, and there's a little bit of like enchilada sauce kind of under it, you know, or just like within it, and not too much cheese. Definitely not like, you know, Velveeta American melted cheese or anything like that.
Cool. All right, what else is going on? Give me map news.
Map news. I think, you know, the most immediate map news is I kind of decided that I don't want to go on a rant about Patreon. I mean, we've had Patreon supporters since like 2017, I think, or 18 or so, for a while. And we currently have something like 106 of them. Although this is going to allude to some of the things I'm going to say in a minute, is that when I go onto Patreon and I click paid members and it shows 106, I start scrolling down and some of those are not actually paid members, or, you know, but they used to be. So it's just one of those examples of like, why isn't this working as I expect? And why is it so hard to find like a basic piece of information, which is all to say that their UI is very bad and it's really hard to like give people rewards and stuff. And we're also not that good with Patreon. We're not good at giving rewards, which I think is maybe okay. I expect that most people that support Pinball Map on there, you know, the map is the reward maybe. And so it's kind of hard to, it's hard to track the things that we wanted to give them. We gave them hand sanitizer at the beginning, pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And post-COVID, you couldn't buy it. Couldn't buy any more hand sanitizer because your aunt stocked up on it. But then after that, it got too hard to track how to like give people stuff. All this is to say that I wanted to kind of look at alternatives, especially alternatives that have like more functionality. And there's ones now that you can have a store where you can like sell stuff to non-supporters and you could give discounts to your supporters. It's all nicely integrated into there. We have a store on Square right now, which we sell stickers and beanies, which, just a heads up, no one's bought a beanie in like 3 months, I think, maybe 4 months, maybe because it's summer.
Yeah, we're coming into the cold weather season, maybe. Yeah.
We'll do an advertising push for cold weather season. So anyway, I started a new one on Ko-fi, I think is how you pronounce it, Ko-fi. And they're like a site that, I don't know, have you ever noticed them before over the years? They're like a buy me a Ko-fi type of website, like give us a tip type of site.
No, I'd never heard of this before.
And I've seen it on, you know, GitHubs and other things like that, where it's like there would be a graphic of a coffee mug with a little heart on it, and I thought it was just a site that was just for, you know, one-time tips, for, you know, give people a dollar or whatever. And but it turns out they've been building a lot more since I've actually looked at it, and they have a nice little Patreon-esque setup where you can have a store in there, you can have integrations with thingies. It's just like nice simple UI that doesn't, Patreon's just too much of a beast. It's really tough. All that's to say, we're not actually closing the Patreon, of course, we can't do that. But if people want to shift over or support Pinball Map on Ko-fi, the link is on like the homepage of Pinball Map. We just switched to that over the weekend. And then at the same time, I thought that a night, I always say we, because I'm just talking about me and you, even if it's a decision that I made on my own and then told you about. But we decided that one like thing that would be nice would be to have a Discord, I guess, for a few reasons. One is that we use Slack to chat about development stuff, and it really bugs me sometimes that the current free version of Slack, you only get 3 months of archives. And so there's been a number of times where I'm like, what did I tell you? Or what did I share with Beth or something about the app? And I can't see it without paying for some pro access. And I also thought it'd be cool to have a more like direct communication with our regional administrators. I think we have 85 administrators right now. Also, a cool thing would be to have our Patreon or Ko-fi supporters on there, and you can like give them a role, which isn't that exciting, but it shows to other people there that they are a supporter. You know, it just gives them a little label. So we set that up. Discord got set up a couple days ago. What do you think about it?
Well, so you're telling me if I become a Ko-fi or Patreon member, I get access to an exclusive pinball map Discord server?
I wouldn't say it's exclusive.
Oh. So I get on there with a role.
Yeah, that's with a what role. You're saying. Yeah, it seems too hard to like keep something exclusive, it. I guess. It's right. Like links get out. Anyone could make a link and share it, I think. So it's just like...
Also, I think you nailed it. Like I would hope people are supporting the site for the site, right? Like we're doing this for free. We're not making money. All the Patreon Ko-fi donations go to server bills, right?
Right.
And I think over the years we've worked pretty hard to keep that as dirt cheap as possible. Like we're not going to pay for anything we don't have to.
Right.
How do I feel about Discord? I like it. I don't know. I was really put off by the stickers at first.
Yeah.
Discord is very sticker heavy. I mean, I'm like a IRC person, you know, so it was big jump. But it's cool to see people on there. There's what, like 60 people on there now?
Yeah. 60 people in a couple of days. I thought it was really cool that so many administrators joined. I sent out an email and then like, you know, 5 minutes later, they were popping in there.
So if you want to have direct chat access to every member of the pinball map community, it's there. We could be talking right now.
Yeah.
The first thing I do in the morning is I check my phone. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear from you.
No promises, though.
I promise. Yeah. I promise.
Oh, you do?
That.
Okay.
Yeah, no. If you go into the Discord channel, you have something to say, you got something to ask, I promise you, within 24 hours, you will have a response from me. I guarantee it. Well, we'll talk about whatever you want to. Yeah. I don't even care. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, let's see what else. I think there was, this is, you know, we haven't talked in a couple months, so this one's a little old, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Oh, and it segues into some quiz stuff. So there was a data scientist on Mastodon is where I first saw this, who pulled a bunch of the pinball map data and started mapping it with by country, and then showing pinball per capita. Everyone knows what per capita means, right?
What does it act like literally translate to?
It's just like a fancy way of saying per person.
Oh, okay. So capita is person in Latin or something?
I guess so. I don't know why. Okay. So, you know, it's just trying to say like there's one pinball machine, you know, or there's, you know, 0.1 pinball machines for every 1,000 people. You know, it's some way to express that. Where there might be countries that only have 100 machines, but they might have a small population. So they might actually have more per capita than the US or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just a data scientist crunching stuff. And I don't have it in front of me, so don't ask me anything about what those stats are.
Okay.
but it made me think about some of the far-flung locales. I think we asked people last time to send us scene reports from far-flung locales. No one did, but we did. We have evidence that people were at far-flung locales. We had new locations added in the Maldives.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where that is?
Nope, absolutely not. Where are the Maldives?
That is an island chain off of the kind of southwest of India.
Oh, okay.
But sort of far off of it a bit.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and it's like a series of atolls. It's really cool to look at on a map because, you know, it's just atolls, so it's like sunken islands essentially with just the rim around them left. And there's a whole bunch of them, but they're all you know, there's obviously residents that have lived there for many, many years, but then there's also like really nice looking resorts here and there. It seems like it would be a very difficult or like a long journey to get there. But
what machines do you, or sorry, I'm not supposed to ask any questions, but do you remember any of them?
So it's a Guns N' Roses LE Jersey Jack machine.
Okay.
And Led Zeppelin Pro.
Cool. What's the name of the place that they're at?
It's called Jawakara Islands. It's a resort.
Yeah. Cool. And I went to India once. Remember that?
You bet I do.
We should go to the Maldives. Play some Guns N' Roses.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to go. They have some of the really, really good waves in the Maldives. And it's a little controversial because some of the resorts will claim ownership of the waves and will basically prevent other resorts and locals from boating in to like the wave that breaks off their shore, which is not a good thing to do. No one owns the ocean, man.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, and preventing the locals. It's just, yeah. So there's some bad vibes in places there, but it's also a very idyllic looking place.
Hmm.
All right, here's another. This is not actually part of the quiz, but I'm making it a quiz. Another one, far-flung locale, and I don't know how to pronounce this, the Åland Islands. Any idea where that is?
Oh, I didn't realize this was like a formal quiz.
No, it's not, but it just made me wonder if you know where these things are.
No, absolutely not. I would love to know where this place is, but I've never... the Maldives I had at least heard of. I don't know where... on Åland Islands?
This one surprised me. It was one of those ones where I was like, you know, I looked it up and you're zoomed in on a map and you don't know where it is. And I zoomed out. And I just kept zooming. And I was like, where is this? It's in Scandinavia. And it's in between Finland and... I should really come prepared and like have a map up.
Okay. So yeah. It's in Scandinavia.
Yeah. I guess it's part of Finland. Okay. Yeah. I looked it up. It's in between Sweden and Finland. Anyway, it's a place that you never really think of. But then you look at it, it's kind of this beautiful looking island chain. That's pretty big. A lot of islands. Looks like thousands of islands.
And there's pinball in there somewhere.
Yeah, there's pinball.
Makes you wonder, how'd that pinball get there? Who cares? I guess they sent over on some freight thing.
Yeah, boat. Boat's the answer.
Yeah.
All right, and the last two were Gibraltar and Serbia.
Serbia, I definitely know where that is. I used to work with a guy from Serbia. Gibraltar, Straits of Gibraltar. I want to say that's Spain, somewhere near Spain.
Yeah,
but I'm also thinking Morocco.
Well, I think it's like in between Spain and Morocco. You know, it's when you enter the Mediterranean, it's the narrowest little part right there. That's the Strait of Gibraltar. And I looked it up, and what's funny is that it should be Spain, it looks like, but guess what? It's owned by Britain, and it's just this like teeny little. It's like the size of a city, and it seems like they've retained ownership of it. It's their land. It's British land, and I wonder if they use it to like exact a tax on freights that go by or something like that. That's
you think
guess.
Britain's actively attacking ships that come through
the
Mediterranean?
No, I said exact attacks, like charge freights money to go through.
Exact attacks. Okay. Wow. Okay. Cool. I thought it was an English thing, but also thought it was in Spain. So
yeah, you were right.
That's great. Yeah, that's. I guess I was right about one thing today.
Okay. I actually have an actual quiz for you, though.
What? Okay. I love quizzes. We've done quizzes on this podcast for a while. It's always my favorite part. Go ahead. Okay.
All right. So, you know, all that per capita stuff got me thinking. I actually made an endpoint for this guy. It was after the fact, though, but made an endpoint that lists how many machines per country are on pinball map. So I want you to guess the top five countries, not per capita or anything like that, just which top five countries that have pinball machines on pinball map.
Okay. So I will, full disclosure, I pulled up just to see how many locations we had. 10,643 as of this record. Top five, you said?
Yeah, some of these might be easy, but you know.
Okay, yeah. Number one, the United States of America.
Yes.
Okay. Number two. Canada.
Yes.
Okay. Number three. Ooh, Australia?
Yeah. Nice.
Okay. Okay. I just know they joined pretty early, right? At least with us.
Yeah.
Exactly. Number three, Australia. Number four, I'll go with France.
Yes. France.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Did I really get that right? Wow.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I guess just because I know France was really into pinball for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Number five, I feel like I'm playing with house money now. I'll go with Japan.
No.
No. What is it?
Great Britain.
Oh, okay.
Close though. I mean, geez, you got four right. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then I think it'd be too tough to guess the 6 through 10, but maybe it's fun to share. It's number 6 is Germany. Number 7 is Finland. Finlandia. Number 8 is Italy. Number 9 is Belgium. Number 10 is Austria. So Europe.
Europe.
Okay, next question. How many countries does Pinball Map list?
Oh, wow. Let's see. You pulled out the top 10. We covered Europe. Earlier you mentioned 5 or 4. So there's at least 14. Japan wasn't on there, so we're up to 15. I'm going to double that number because of South America, bring me up to 30. And then because 30 feels low, I'm going to go with 35.
Still low. We actually have 67 countries.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And what, you know, I was looking though, 21 of those only have one location listed.
Makes you wonder if it's still there.
Yeah, I know.
We should try to contact those 21 locations. Just email them or something. Call them. Phone calls are free nowadays, right? We could just call.
Yeah. Although it would be sad to remove a whole country from the map if they don't have that machine anymore.
I guess. I mean, the map doesn't really think or feel. It's a massive data, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think and feel sometimes, though.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Oh, and you know, here's another follow-up, I guess. Remember when you added that editing, deleting comments feature a couple months ago?
Of course I remember.
Okay, so then I kind of wondered, and this is just anecdotal information. I didn't crunch any numbers, but I wondered, are people using it? And it looks like yes. I'd say for every 20 comments that are made, there's like 1 to 3 out of those were edits or deletions.
Interesting. I would be curious to hear how many of those edits happen within 2 minutes of the comment being created. Typos.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, okay. Or is it like a month later where they edit a comment to say, oh, this is fixed now or something?
Or deleted within 24 hours because of regret.
Regret.
alcohol based or otherwise. It'd be cool to see a regret deletions.
Maybe I do not want to promise a follow up on that information.
Yeah, I get it. Maybe I'll give it a shot. I haven't done a SQL query in a while. I enjoy those. I always thought those were kind of fun.
Map tech.
Next up, I thought we would talk, usually ask about site and app updates. I feel like in the last couple episodes, I wasn't super prepared for those answers. And it was tough too, because episode 9 was our first episode in like 3 or 4 years. So there was just too much stuff to list, too much stuff to look through. But now that we're doing these more frequently, it's easier to give a nice little status update of stuff we've done on the map. Again, if you join the Discord or something like that, you can see our GitHub commits, because there's channels there where we just feed that stuff into. If you're ever curious of, fix a typo and see our nice little commit changing that.
And you can also ask me anything you want and get a response within 24 hours.
All right.
That's a guarantee.
What's your handle on there?
SSW.
I'm Ryan TG on there. Okay. So one thing we did, let's see. Oh yeah, this is an interesting one. So there's some folks on Mastodon contacted us, and let me see if I could find folks from an arcade called Hopia Kuula Arcade in Europe. They post a lot of videos about like working on the machines and stuff every day. They post videos showing their tech work and stuff like that, and just, you know, talking about machines and things like that. And then they also travel around Europe using the map, looking for places to play. You know, they want to know if they need to somehow find the money they need in that area, or if they could just use a card, or if it's, you know, whatever the system is. So We thought we'd look into the possibility of adding that as some sort of like drop down or something like that. But I was like, oh, in the meantime, we can, when you're, you know, that's information that anyone can write in the location description. And you can, when you like submit a new location, or when there's no location description in there and you go to edit that field, there's placeholder text in both those situations that say like, write a description, tell us the hours, you know? And so I was like, oh, I could just, how about we have this placeholder text say, tell us what sort of their money situation is at this place. And I was like, oh, that's a start. You know, then people will start populating that. It's not something you could like search by or filter by or anything like that, but at least it's like there in front of you. And I'd like to say that surprisingly people started typing this in, like, especially when they submit locations, new ones. They're like, it takes dollars and coins, and there's a coin machine there, or it only takes cards or something, you know? So they actually read that placeholder text and do it.
I think it's actually super helpful. I mean, it's frustrating when you go to a bar and there's no quarter machine. And then also you kind of want to know if there's the cards for the place. Like, I don't know what you call those things, or tokens too.
Yeah. So, tokens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually kind of a cool idea to include that.
Yeah. So I thought that was nice and encouraging, even without all the work that would be involved in adding like a specific dropdown exclusively for that. It's cool that people are starting to put that in. So, you know, you could do that too. Edit any location description, put that in.
Do you have a preference when you go to a location, how you want to pay?
Yeah, I just prefer, I prefer a coin machine and real quarters, not tokens, is my preference.
Got it.
But, you know, I don't know. It's because I have like multiple bags of tokens now that are for different places. I don't know. I guess the aside I was going to think of is that, like, sometimes places give me tokens. If I know
places,
like,
give you tokens.
Well,
what do you mean?
There's one place near me that they're really nice, and we were like selling stickers there, and I actually wasn't accepting any money for the stickers. I just said, "Here's some stickers, sell them."
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, a few times I would walk in, they'd just like hand me some tokens. And
I see.
I don't think they would want to like hand me quarters, and that would be a little weird because they'd be giving me money that I could just like walk out with. But
that would be funny though.
Yeah.
They gave you quarters for the machine, you just walked out with it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's guaranteed I'm going to use those tokens at their place now. So it's
right.
Yeah.
Right.
What about you? What do you prefer?
The same. I've heard that quarters are kind of a pain for the owners, you know, because, with tokens, you kind of, it's similar overhead as quarters, but you've already got the person's money. Like, they can't really walk out with the extra stuff.
Yeah.
But I hear tokens are a pain because other places' tokens will work in your bar.
Mm.
And then you're kind of like taking credits from them. The thing I absolutely do not like are the cards. Those drive me crazy. I mean, I guess I prefer cards over tokens, but...
Hmm.
Yeah, anyway, I'm just a quarter guy. What else have we added?
Well, one thing was this. I felt like this is a long time coming, but you know, the Open Pinball Database (OPDB) has a big old list of machines, and we've always just maintained our own list. I mean, we put in their OPDB code key, whatever, on all our machines, but we basically just said, like, we only list machines that have been added to places. And if there isn't a machine listed, you can fill out a form, or, you know, you could type it in on the website, and we'll get a notification that it's a new machine, and we can add it to the database, and then it could be added to the location. And but after, you know, after doing this for so many years, I was like, okay, at this point, let's just stop this and let's just import all the remaining machines from OPDB. So I did it with some SQL. That was some fun SQL. Imported an additional 560 machines from OPDB, which bumped up our machine database to be over 2,000 machines.
Did you listen to music while you were doing that?
Yeah, I was probably listening to Bandcamp on my headphones. I mean, it didn't take me that long though.
Okay.
This is a neat one. Is wanted you know, we get these locations that are in Europe and other places that have diacritics, like accent marks on some of the characters, like umlauts and whatnot. And it seemed unfair that if you're typing a search in, you know, even if you're typing the word cafe and there's like an accent on the E, you don't want to type CAFE and then not get a result in our little autocomplete because you typed in the wrong type of E, and it's like a huge hassle to do that E with the accent.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did some work to handle those diacritics, and without going into it, I did one way that just uses like a translate function that, you know, it matches like that, diacritic letter to a non-diacritic letter. And then after that, with a lot of consultation from our active contributor, Squirrel, he mentioned, or maybe I looked this part up myself, I don't know, but using the doing it through Postgres and using a Postgres extension called Unaccent, could just handle that on its own. You don't have to have some crazy translate thing going on, which was, you know, translate would be like creating kind of like a library of matching letters that if a new one showed up, you'd have to update it and update the code with the new matching letters, which is just not that sustainable. So this unaccenting strategy also involved indexing in the database. And do you know what indexing is, or can you explain it, or does it matter?
Indexing. I think it matters. It's like if you have, oh no, index, it's a thing I've used a million times. It's like kind of a lookup table where you can say, if I ever want to use this field as a join or something like that, I kind of have a little cheat sheet that makes combining data from two tables way faster.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's stuff that I don't quite always understand, because it's like, I'm like, you already have the data here in the field. Why is making an index of it right next over there suddenly make access to that data quicker? These are these things that I don't understand, not having quite the background here. After that, so that's totally sped up the auto-completes. For auto-completing like location names or city names, it gave us like a 40% response increase doing that indexing with the unaccent stuff. And then last Friday or so, Squirrel added a trigram indexing. And I think I could kind of explain what that is, but basically like if a location name is ground control, it creates an index where it splits up the words ground control mostly into sequences of three letters. So it'll be mm-hmm. like GRO, ROU, you know, et cetera, as these little sets of three letters. And it makes it so that when you start typing, it's quicker to find matches, essentially. Because I don't know, some indexing magic.
That's pretty cool. Like, it doesn't wait for you to type out the whole thing before it can use the index. It has little snippets of indexes.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of that before, but makes sense and yeah. is cool.
I actually had, during all this, like, translates diacritic stuff, I checked in with Drew Chandler and asked him if he had any advice, and that was his advice. And we ended up using, like he said, use unaccent, and I'd go with trigrams.
Love that man.
Yeah, that guy is always right. So it's a, I think you'll notice that. I think people will notice if you're doing in the app or the website, typing in the search field, you could type in a location name. I think you'll see that the results come up a lot quicker. I think it's like a really nice boost, and it seems to like relieved CPU usage and all this stuff too. I think it's like overall like a kind of substantial thing. Little design change on the site, changed how like pictures are shown. That was it. Nothing really else to say about that. Just kind of, that's a hard thing to do design for. Let's see. Oh, another thing is like when people are suggesting locations, made it so there's no way for people to type in anything in the machines field. They have to choose a machine. So I added some like JavaScript thing called select2, and it makes it so when you start typing in a machine name, it auto completes it. You select it. You could add more and more and more. This is just a website thing. And there's no way you can type in that field with some random junk, which is what people would do sometimes, or they, you know, they'd paste in their list of machines from some other site and it isn't formatted right. So this is kind of dummy proofing that. Oh yeah, I made an endpoint to show all the locations that were deleted in the past year, because there's some services like Scorbit and Pindigo that they retain, you know, the locations that we're just like no mercy on Pinball Map, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not there, we clean it out.
Yeah, right? But yep. You know, they keep them with those other services, and they want some sort of record sometimes. Or it's like, you know, it's a lot of work sometimes to figure out if it's been deleted from Pinball Map. So I did an endpoint. So here's a quiz: how many locations do you think have been deleted from Pinball Map in the last year?
Wow. How many locations have been deleted in the last year? I'm gonna guess 150.
No.
Wow, you're like, you're flabbergasted.
Yeah, I don't know why. 1,605.
Oh my God, 1,605.
Yeah, isn't that a lot? Like, there's
that is
just,
a lot.
Every week, it's a huge amount of locations being added, and then, you know, it's kind of a two steps forward, one step back type thing. Is that Paul mm-hmm. Abdul, Janet Jackson?
Two steps forward, two steps back. We come together because opposites attract.
Paula Abdul, right?
Is it Paula? Yeah, it is Paula Abdul.
With the duet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Any, you know, I feel like I was kind of plowing through a lot of those items and not giving you as much room. Perhaps.
Well, I haven't really contributed anything. I think the one thing that happened behind the scenes, which I find kind of funny, Google is doing some sort of flush on their store. I think the idea is they want to get rid of like dead apps or, I don't know, orphaned apps, something like that. So they told us you have to verify your identity through Google Play, which is like their app store, by a certain date, or they would delist the pinball map. So I, you know, okay, that's fine. I thought I did it right, and then turns out I didn't do it right. I had to do it a second time. I had to upload a picture of my driver's license and send them a utility bill. I had to send that to Google, which felt a little strange. And then, I don't know, the Mechanical Turk looked at it and said good to go.
Yeah, that's like so, applying. Do you have the real ID in Oregon, or is that just a California thing?
We have the real ID, yeah, and if you don't have it by like May of next year, you have to bring a passport to fly anywhere. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's the same process. You gotta like get a utility bill and show some proof of this and that, so it's kind of surprising. And you know, I don't get the logic that Google's playing with right there, because can't they just immediately see that the app's not stale by the fact that we like released an update recently?
Maybe there's other stuff they're going after too. I don't know. Like theft, or, you know, I don't know what the phrase anymore is.
Yeah, someone hijacked an app or something like that.
Yeah, or you have an app that's just like steals data. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, the map was almost delisted, but what was I watching? I think I might have been watching Thunder in Paradise while I verified my identity.
The first time you verified it, or the second time?
Second time. The first time, it was so long ago, it's hard to say what I was watching. I don't really have a lot of shows right now that I'm watching. You got any shows?
No, nothing right now.
Yeah, I went through a long period of no shows, no video games either. But now I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3. You know about this one?
I mean, I know it came out, but that's all I know.
It's really good. I mean, you and I used to play D&D together for quite a while.
Yeah.
It's D&D. Like, it's the same rules. They've somehow managed to have a video game that uses those rules.
Cool.
It's really fun.
Is it the same like third person perspective that it was before on the other Baldur's Gates?
It's like turn-based omniscient view of the thing. Anyway, that's what I contributed. I verified my identity.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, when I started making this list, I was like, oh, this is more stuff than I thought. And I left off stuff too, but little bits here and there chip away.
If anyone would like to talk in more detail about that stuff, come on over to the Discord server. I'll respond within 24 hours.
Guaranteed.
Ryan makes no such promise.
No promises. No promises.
No promises from him. I'd be happy to respond. I'd be happy to respond on Ryan's behalf, too.
I'll give you those privileges.
Okay, thanks.
Wait, I think my phone's ringing. Ring, ring.
I actually thought your phone was ringing. I was like, man, we're going to have to re-record. oh, wow, your phone's ringing?
Yeah.
Are you going to answer it?
No, I'm going to let it go to voice.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, I'll check later. Actually, I'm going to check now. It could be my...
Well, we're in the middle. Okay, fine. All right, check that voicemail.
Okay.
Wednesday, August 7th, 2024 at 3:34 p.m.
Hey, Ryan. It's Scott from our podcast. How are you? I'm fine. I am calling you today from Slim's in St. John's, Portland, Oregon. I moved away from this neighborhood, gosh, about a year and a half ago, and I can't seem to get away. Damn it. Can't seem to stop coming back here. I had to think about that. Slim's is great, though. If you are unaware, it's this like nice little cavernous bar restaurant place right in the middle of beautiful downtown St. John's. Really good food at Slim's. That's the interesting thing here. Good burgers. I like it. I like Slim's. And I get my hair cut up here, so I'm playing before my haircut is what's going on, since you asked. What do they got? Godzilla, Jaws, and Dr. No. Jaws is currently off, or I think I'd probably be playing that. Godzilla? I don't think I can play Godzilla anymore. I think I'm done. I mean, it's a good game, but it's too present. Anyway, so I'm playing Dr. No and actually having a pretty good time for the first time. If somebody put, there's a girl on the back glass in a bikini. She's wearing a belt, too. I guess that's for a gun, so that makes sense. But somebody put googly eyes over her eyes, and I think that's pretty funny. So I'm really enjoying that. Let's see, it's summertime now, so I do enjoy coming out or in from like a hot, scorchy outside to like a nice cold inside. That's always one of my core pinball memories, or when you and me and our group of friends would go to the Shanghai Tunnel in downtown Portland, get our veggie burgers and play the really bad Indiana Jones game that came out. Yeah, good times. Let's see, how am I feeling today? Feeling pretty good. Finally got a handle on sleep. Like, I think I have some pretty good tips on how to fall asleep and stay asleep now, which has been sort of an issue for me for a while. So I feel well rested, which I'm finding is pretty critical for most parts of my day. Never really gave much mind to sleep before, and now I pay a lot of attention to it. So it's really freed me up to be present and focused on things like Dr. No. Yeah, if you're ever in St. John's, go swing by Slim's. You could do a lot worse. There's not a ton of pinball up here. So, yeah, come on over. come on down to Slim's. Why are we arguing about this? All right, I'll talk to you soon. Hope you're having a great day. Love you. Bye.
Oh, thanks for that message, yeah. Scott.
Yeah, you got it.
You know, I've never been to Slim's.
Really? You've never been to Slim's?
No, I don't think so.
Interesting.
Unless,
man,
that's not a place that had ping pong for a little while, did it?
I don't. You might be thinking of what is it, Marie's? Marie's, couple doors down, they have ping pong there.
Yeah,
that's a place that had Dubs for a while, that barbecue place.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had another scene report that unfortunately didn't record properly. It was in Seattle. Mm. I was on a business trip to Seattle. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I went to this hotel that has pinball in the basement, and they had that, Beatles pinball, where it's like I don't know, it's called Beatles 60th, or I don't remember exactly what it's called, but I think it's more kind of a rarer Beatles game. But anyway, the important part of this story is that it was this little tiny hallway in a hotel that had like four pinball machines. They were all maintained really well. They had a Congo there also, which is cool. Yeah. But what's notable is that it says Barcade on it. It was like blah, 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 Barcade. I know. And they're like clearly flying under the radar because it's such a small thing that's just a room in a hotel.
Yeah.
But I feel like if the people knew about it, you know, it'd be trouble.
Yeah. They might know about it right now.
You think? Well, I hope I didn't. Nah. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
it's just a sign, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone makes signs.
That's true. Everyone does make signs when you think about it.
Yeah. I sometimes think about that Tesla song. I mean, that was a cover song, I think, but that band Tesla, signs, signs, everywhere there's signs. Blocking up the scenery, making my mind do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs? I think it's like an old cover of a 60s song from a Sacramento band called Tesla.
I keep thinking about that song. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know what it's called, but it's just, it goes lies, 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 yeah. That's like the chorus. Do you know the one? Lies, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Is it kind of like a dancey one?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So all day I'm walking around with that playing in my head for like months at this point.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what it's like.
I mean, are you actually listening to it too sometimes?
No, I haven't listened to that song in forever. I have no idea why it's even in my head. If you want to talk about it or if it's in your head, hit me up on the Discord server. We can talk about that live song.
Jeez,
within 24 hours, I will play that song and put a link to it in the Discord server.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. I think that's a wrap.
Yeah, another podcast. How do you feel about it? Rate it on a scale of 1 to 5.
You want me to rate it, or you're asking the audience to rate it?
No, I don't speak to the audience.
Oh.
No, I guess I do. I'm asking them to join us on Discord. No, they couldn't respond, right? So I'm asking you, please, if you don't mind, 1 to 5.
I think it seemed maybe a 3.5.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you.
You know, podcasts are there. It's tough for me when I listen back on these. I don't feel good about myself. It's tough to hear your voice. It's tough to hear your vocal tics, where I probably say a lot. And I swear I was going to not do that. And I didn't think about it once throughout this entire episode. So I probably did do it a lot.
I don't know. I'm sure it's fine. And also people have said they can't tell our voices apart. So there's like a camouflage element to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Who said what? Who knows?
Here's what I like about this podcast. I want it to be pinball map news.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about my feelings with you. That's really all. If we can get those two things taken care of, everything else is fine. People know what they're signing up for. You want to hear what happened on the map? You want to hear about how many machines were added from OPDB? This is your podcast.
I promise a scene report next time.
Oh, really? Okay. I would, you know, this is the last time I'll ask because it starts to get a little desperate. But yeah. I would love for people to send in their own scene reports. I think that's when it truly shines.
Yeah. And, you know, at the beginning of our blog forever ago, people were writing little scene reports. Blogging about scene reports. And this takes much less work. You just have to talk for a couple minutes.
Talk into your phone. It doesn't have to be professional. It doesn't have to be long. All you got to do is say where you are and how you feel about it. That's all. That's all this is.
That's it.
I mean, pinball is fun. That's fine. But pinball, the power goes out. Pinball is not going to be around anymore. And you're gonna have to live with yourself. So I would like to hear more about what that's like, you know, or don't. It's your choice.
Yeah, do what you want.
Okay, well, it's always a pleasure talking to you, Ryan. I'll see you on our Discord server, right?
Yeah. Yeah. See you tomorrow. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.